Tonight, I'm going to speak about a new name. So in Revelation 3, 7 through 13, we'll go ahead and read. And this is the message to Philadelphia. So here we go. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set a door before thee, an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them and dwell them upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And we're focusing on the destination tonight. And we normally do. And I thank the Lord that we do. That new name. And before we get into it a little bit further, I just want to talk about this name thing. And Brother Scott had a Bible study several years ago, or in the Sunday school class, about names, what's in a name, and he expounded upon names and what they mean. And I mean, really, names were given to distinguish something from something else, just as a basis. I mean, if I'm looking up here and I see, you know, these things, and I'm like, hey, Dad, go play that. There's a few things up here that he could go play. I can distinguish them then by saying, hey, how about would you play this keyboard for me? Or the piano. And that kind of distinguishes those two instruments from each other. We could further go a little bit deeper and say, okay, there's a, you know, grand piano, or is that a Yamaha keyboard? Or, you know, in names there's brands and different things that kind of give it further distinction beyond what it is in its most general manner. And this whole life would be really confusing, I think, if we didn't have these names and this distinction and these characteristics that are brought in to like a singular thought. It would be almost impossible to like get through a conversation with anybody. Remember when we went to the thing with that thing, and then there was that thing, and then we went to that thing and had that thing? You'd have no idea what you're talking about, and I kind of don't know what I'm talking about there either. But you get what I mean, that the distinction, being able to define what you're saying by a name, makes a huge difference. Like if you're using a tool to go fix some plumbing or something like that. And you would say, hand me that tool. And if you have a toolbox that has multiple tools, or if you are, like, say, for instance, a plumber and have all the things, all the tools, and you ask somebody, hand me that tool, they could give you anything. They could put anything in your hand. And you would be like, no, not that one. I mean, chances are you would say that. Maybe they get it right on the first time, but most likely they wouldn't. So knowing what that thing is and knowing what that name is, it's a powerful thing. and just doing everyday things. And we get those names. Those names are assigned to things, sometimes by their functionality. We get names as people, sometimes because of our job. And that's something that Brother Scott pointed out. My last name is Baker. At some point in time, somebody in my lineage probably was a baker. Others have names like Smith that were from blacksmith and so on and so forth. And those names have been passed down generation to generation because of an inheritance of that name. But the original purpose or original job of that person was from that name. So we've talked about names a little bit. I want to talk about the specific definitions when we're looking at these words of name. So the word name in this particular context in Revelations 3:12, that new name, the name anima, it's Strong's 3686, it basically means name, and it's presumed to be a derivative of the word gnosko, which means to know. And that's used a lot in knowledge. Be aware of, feel, have known, perceive, to be resolved, can speak of, can be sure of, can understand. So a name, in its definition, comes with the knowledge of it. So if we're talking about a person, a lot of times you can say a person's name, and it doesn't mean anything if you don't know that person. If it's like, hey, Jack went to the store, something like that. Who's Jack? I have no idea. But if I said, my dad, Bob Baker, plays the piano very well, I think a lot of you that know Bob would know that context of what I'm talking about. Just by me adding, I did say my dad, but if I said Bob Baker, you guys still would know, right? Just because of the fact that you know him a little bit, maybe a lot of it, for years, and you know that name, and you've heard him play. So there's a knowledge that comes with knowing both a name and what that person that has that name has done. So that's that anima. But there's also a part of that word that is from, it's Greek 3685. So it's just one word before that. It's anonymi. I hope I got that right. Which is only in the Bible once, and it basically is to derive pleasure or advantage from, or have joy. And that word is really close to the word name. Anima, anonymi, those two words are really close. Versus that anima and gnosko. You're like, why? How did that happen? How did that happen? And a lot of times we have words like that that kind of have that context because of, you know, however we're applying them to. But I like to look at these things two together. It's the knowledge of the joy. It's the knowledge to derive that pleasure or advantage from. And that's just in the name. Just in the name. We can have that knowledge and joy in a name. And we think of the name, the word, God. Think of that name, God. That's a big name. That name encompasses all. God. My God. I'd like you to think about, what does that mean? What does God mean to you when you're saying it? the God of all creation. He created the heavens and earth. He created time. He created you. God that encompasses everything. It's so big. This God is so big. My God is so big. He's vast. He's infinite. But our God wanted to be more specific for us. He didn't want to leave it to just God. And there's many expressions of God. There's Elohim. There's El. El Shaddai. Jehovah. Yahweh. All these different things. They have different meanings. They're the different expressions of God. And they have different meanings. And it's distinction from this big God that we know we have to this specific Lord that we know we need. And I just want to point out that the pronunciation of those names of God, that doesn't matter. And I know you know that. But I think sometimes we get caught up on, if I just say God's name correctly, if I just worship him in the right way, if I have that word correct or something, maybe it will have something better. Maybe if I worship him in a way that my tongue can be better, if I can say it precisely, if I can read that Bible verse, memorize it to the letter, and give it out, maybe that will give me more. That means nothing. He's put it down into the name, everything into the name of the name he wants us to know and receive, the name of Jesus. And there's power in that name. There's power in that name, and there's purpose in that name. He didn't give us this name, Jesus, for us just to see it as God. We have this name Jesus because it's your Jesus. We have this name Jesus because it's our experience with him. He wanted us to know him as a man. He wanted us to know him face to face. It was never about this universe. It was never about everything that he had created. It was about his son, Jesus, and us knowing that name, knowing it. And I just think about that name of Jesus. We could talk about what the word means, and how it's broken down and everything. But think about just to you, what does the name, not the word, the name Jesus mean to you? What does that name of Jesus mean to you? What does that name of Jesus mean to you? What is it in your heart? And if you don't know that name of Jesus, which I believe everybody here does, but if you don't know that name of Jesus, he just wants us to know it. Not the word, the name of Jesus. But why? What's the reason? What's the reason? Why did he become a man? Turn to Psalm 23:3. I'll just read it from the first verse, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thank you, Lord. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That word, namesake, we see that in the Bible 24 times. Namesake. He leadeth me in these paths for his name's sake. That word namesake is kind of two characters. It's both are two words, and it means character and reputation. The character and reputation. And that's the Jewish idiom meaning to protect one's reputation. So namesake means to protect one's reputation, at least in the Hebrew meaning of it. So that's an aspect of it, I guess, if you're looking at the words of it. But really, it's the purpose of his name. The thing that he is doing, everything is doing, everything Jesus is doing is for the purpose of his name. Everything he has done, everything he accomplished, everything he put into place was for his name, the purpose for his name. And it wasn't just to keep it. It's to give us his name. Freely give us that name of Jesus. So why are we here? Let's turn to Acts 9:16. I'll just read it. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. What did he see? For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. We're here for that namesake. Let's turn to Isaiah 43:7. Isaiah 43:7, it says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. We're here for his glory. Everyone that is called by his name, it's created for his glory. And if we look a little bit further in that, or earlier in that chapter, and just go to the first verse. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and the he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. So we see that we have a name right now. We have our name that we've been given. My name's Tim. And if you don't know me, Like, and somebody said, Tim, you would have no idea of who I am, right? And that's the name that my parents gave me and named me. And that was the name that was purposed on my life. But he called me by my name, Tim. And he said that I'm his. Amen. And part of that thing that he says, thou art mine, when he says, thou, you're mine. Are you willing to lose your name? Are you willing to lose that character and reputation? Are you willing to be brought low? Are you willing to be with him in that suffering? Are you willing to be despised of men? Because you can't have both. But we don't really give up our name, truly. The thing that happens is we take his name. Like, naturally speaking, in a marriage these days, sometimes the wife will take the name. And I think in like a very immature thought of it is like almost like that name exchange could be think of like a possession or something like that. I think if you're real immature, you would think that. But that wife has to take that name. That wife has to take it. That bridegroom has to give it. But it's there. It has to be taken. And when we take that name, we do give up some of that when we take his name. So I'm going to bring this back to the idea of the name and what it means. And like when you know somebody, you really, really know them. And you know their name and what it means. God wants us to know Jesus. God wants us to know that name. It's not this just superficial thing. He wants us to be just knowledgeable about the depth of what it means. What Jesus went through for us. All the things that he did for us. The big things and the small things. Every single little thing. Every aspect of him. The breadth, the length, the depth, the height of his name. Of his love. To know him fully. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know who he is in every aspect of our lives and give that over to him. Every aspect that we have, everything that we have, can we give it over to him? And really, it's never going to be by us actually doing the work of it. It's about what are we willing to take? What are we willing to take of that name? What are we willing to take of Jesus? What are we willing to take of the name of Jesus? Are we going to hold back this aspect of our lives because we're afraid? Are we going to hold back something because we can't reach out to that name of Jesus? Lord, I will take it. I will take that suffering. I will take this cup and I will drink of it. Because I know that that was the purpose, that was purpose for me. In Matthew 11:29, it says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Will you take his name upon? He's done, in that name, he's done everything. That's why that burden is light. That's why it's easy. It's because he's done everything. He's accomplished everything. He's done it. He took that sin. He took that shame. He took all of it upon himself. He took it upon himself. He took that burden upon himself. That burden that you have today, he took it upon himself. He took everything upon himself. And he was the God of all. He could have done anything. He could have changed it. He could have said, no, I'm going to do it this way. God is not limited to anything. He is not limited. And he could have changed it. But he knew it was for you. He knew it was for you. So if you took his name upon you, that burden is going to be light. There's no doubt it's going to be light. It's going to be easy. Because he just wants us to know that. He can take it. He can take it. He can take it. That's his name. The name of Jesus. There's so much power in that name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I think about this. No one knows my name. No one knows me. No one knows me more than Jesus. He knows everything about me. He knows my uprising. He knows my downfall. He knows my thought afar off. He knows if there's a wicked way in me. And he's searching. And he has it. No one knows my name like Jesus. No one knows me like Jesus. No one knows you like Jesus. No one knows what you need like Jesus. He knows you. He knows you by name. He knows the full encompassing aspect of your life in your name. He knows what you need. He knows what's going to get you to overcome. He knows what it's going to take for you to be in that bride, for you to marry him. He knows every aspect of that. He knows everything. Of what it's gonna take. And there's nothing that he's gonna withhold from you to get to that point. If you just hold on to that name. And I know that one day it's not gonna be my bride that he says to me. He's going to call me by my name. And if you believe, if you love his appearing, he's going to call you by name. Think about all the things in your life, the expanse of your life, everything that you've lived through, the highs, the lows, the hidden parts that nobody knows about. Jesus knows about that. And he's overcome them for you. Amen. So that you can overcome. And he's going to call you by name. Amen. He's going to call you by name. And then, if we go back to Revelation, Revelation 3:12. And I will write upon him my new name. I will know that name. In my heart, I already know that name. It's not about what that word is. We understand that. It's not about that word. It's about that name. It's about that name that he's going to give us. I will be that name. I will be that name by his grace. Not that I have already obtained, but I follow after. Not that I can do it in my strength, but I put it on him. I put it on him to perfect me. I put it on him to perfect that which concerns me. I say, Lord, you have it. I surrender all to him. I can't do it. There is no way I can do it, but I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in his name. Hallelujah. I know that there's power in it. I know that he will deliver me. Hallelujah. He is my strength. Hallelujah. When I am weak, that is him right there holding me. I don't have to do a thing. I can just trust. I can lean on him. He will perfect that. He will give me that new name. I will be that name. I believe in him. And not only will I be that name, I will know it. I will know it. I will know that name. I will know it in its fullness, in its measure, in its stature. I will know every aspect of it. That knowledge will not be hidden from me. And I can have it today. I can have it today. By his grace, I can have it today. I don't have to wait. He built it up in me now. Why would I wait to trust him? By faith, we enter in now. By faith, we enter in now. By faith, we enter in now. He's going to write upon me that new name, and I'm going to know it. I will know him. I will know him as he knows me right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.